The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast with Donkey Teeth and B-Don. What's happening, B-Don?
Hey, what's going on, man? Not too much. Enjoying this random beautiful weather for the start of November. I mean, it's perfect, actually. I wish we could just kind of stay in this period of time where the weather is perfect. Justin Field is running for record yardages, and you know, everything seems to be right in the world right now.
Yeah,
other than you know us losing. But,
yeah, I gotta hand it to you. I mean, I feel like you nailed it on Justin Fields the bye call last week. So kudos to you there, B-Don.
Thank you. You know, I don't get them all right, but occasionally we'll help you out here.
Not a great time to be a Bears fan, but there's hope, and that's all that you can really ask for, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's running around with absolutely nobody giving him anything, and he still looks pretty good. So hopefully he'll take a little bit of a bump if the Bears ever do bring in some talent to surround him with, which I'm still questionable about. Well, offensive talent and Bears really don't go hand in hand.
You know, there was a trade because we recorded like at the trade deadline last week, the day of the trade deadline, and we actually missed the Claypool trade. It happened like right around the time that we were recording. So I do like seeing the Bears make that kind of move. I've been a Claypool fan. I think that's a really nice acquisition. I don't know what your feelings are on it.
I kind of hated it. We traded an early second rounder for essentially a guy that we probably could have drafted in the early second round and gotten 4 years of control rather than a year and a half of control. So I don't know.
I don't think it was their second, right? I think it was somebody else's.
No, it's our second. It was a very early second round pick that we traded for Chase Claypool for a year and a half of a guy who runs exactly 1.5 routes.
For some reason, I thought it was somebody else's that we had picked up.
No, because we had made the trade and we traded with Baltimore to send Roquan, but we did not trade Baltimore's pick. We traded our pick because that was what they wanted, because apparently the Packers were also in on him and were offering a second and a later pick. But if we had offered, you know, since we offered a very early second, they went with that one. Again, I don't know what we're doing. We're not competitive this year. We're not even like trying to win, clearly, since we're trading out our defensive pieces. And we've been doing that since the preseason. So I really, really don't understand the Claypool trade.
Right.
I like him. I think he's fine. But like an early second for a guy who's going to have a year and a half with us, who's already shown that he has limitations as far as routes and what he can do. I don't think it was a good move, considering where we're at. I mean, if we were competitive and going for it and we had kept Khalil and Roquan, like, sure, absolutely. But I it seems so random.
Yeah, I liked it a lot more before I knew it was our pick. I mean, I don't hate it. I think that's fair value, but I thought it was really nice value when I thought we were giving up a back end second. Those early second rounders, I mean, they're essentially first rounders. So,
And wide receiver is so obviously deep next year's draft. Like we could have kept that one. We could have not even used it and still gotten a Claypool type of receiver, like with our second round pick that we had. I don't love the trade-off for what I thought we were building. Like I thought we were building, you know, for the future. That's why we got rid of everybody. And now it was so confusing.
Yeah, it sounds like I like Claypool a bit more than you long term, and I think the Bears do too. Obviously, right? They're looking at it as they're obviously selling off, and they're looking at this as an investment in a weapon for Fields for next year. But yeah, I get your viewpoint as somebody that's not in love with Claypool.
I mean, we have to sign him like immediately. We get a half a season, and then maybe, and we get one more season, and then we have to decide whether it's worth dropping like $10-15 million a year on him for, you know, 4 to 5 years. I don't love the situation it's putting us in.
Yeah, I let me see. So he's got 2 years left, right? After this year,
just wait till we see the names that are available when our second pick would have been next year, and you'll understand why I'm pissed off right now.
Yeah, I guess there is we only get him for 2023. Yeah, that's fair. That's fair, Bidon.
It's awful. It's an awful deal for a team that's not in it at all.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Like, there were so many guys we could have gotten preseason. Like, if it was all about giving Field something to work with, they're just guys we could have signed as free agents. There are guys we could have traded for less. I mean, Amari Cooper went for nothing. Like, we could have gotten Cooper. We could have signed Will Fuller before he retired or semi. I don't know where Will Fuller. Like, he's in a semi-retirement phase. Like, there's guys we could have brought in for less than an early second-round pick. Whatever. We can move on. Well, I've said that like 85 times.
Yeah. I mean, I think what it comes down to is I like Claypool like a lot more than you, it sounds like. I like
Claypool. I don't. I mean, it's a financial game, though.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks that we're giving up an early second rounder and we only get him for one more season, essentially. So definitely get that viewpoint. But I still do like Claypool. And if they're looking, I mean, I guess what that move tells you is they're looking at going for it in 2023, which I like as a Bears fan.
I mean, I suppose. I don't know that you get rid of your three best defensive players and say that you're going for it in 2023, but okay.
All right, let's move on to the buy-sell show, Bidon. So you put in our notes that we haven't been doing buy-sell shows, even though we're branding it as buy-sell, but we've made an effort kind to of. Say, are you buying or selling this player?
We've said it a few times, but we just, you know, I just thought I'd throw it in here. We should maybe actually do a mid-season buy-sell type of thing.
Okay, so you want to talk about the like the top end at each position, and if you had to sell one of these guys, who it would be? I mean, I guess the general answer to this question, if you're looking at selling, you know, one of the top five or 10 at a position, generally I'm going to sell the guy that is the worst of the group, right? You disagree?
I mean, how do you determine that, though? Like, what's your determination of who's the worst of the group?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what we're here to talk about. If we just tell people to trade the worst of the group, I mean, that helps nobody.
Yeah, so that's the discussion here. At running back, if you had to sell one of Eckler, Mixon, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Nick Chubb, Saquon Barkley, or Josh Jacobs, who are you looking to move right now?
Yeah, and I guess I just kind of threw the names in there. We don't have to read them off every time. Like, just pull up your scores and look at the top guys. I mean, among the top running backs right now, and running backs are always one of those positions, like, well, whoever gets hurt, obviously, is the one you want to move. I would say of this group here, you know, I mean, Mixon obviously had a huge game. I think if you can sell him as, like, a tier one running back right now, coming off that game, I feel like he's at the very top of tier two right now. Even though I love Joe Mixon, I'd say he's top of tier two. Whereas right now, you look at the pull up points, he's in tier one. So I think Joe Mixon's probably the one out of this group that I think you could potentially look at selling. Jacobs, just because I don't think Jacobs is as talented as the rest of the names that we kind of ran off here. And then there's some concern with Chubb, because when Deshaun Watson comes, we don't know if that offense changes, because they finally have a quarterback that can actually throw the ball with some consistency, assuming, you know, he comes back and looks even somewhat remotely like the Deshaun Watson we had seen before. So I would say out of the elite running backs, out of the top guys, those are the three I would potentially, like, if you're like, oh, I don't know who I, you know, if I have to move a top guy, those are the three that I'd be potentially concerned about.
Right. I mean, I guess the question is comes down to, why are you moving these guys? Maybe it's because you're in you've run into bye week issues, or you need the depth for a reason like that, and you're kind of backed into a corner. Otherwise, I don't want to sell them, right? But if you feel like you got to make a move, I agree. From this list, it's Mixon, Jacobs, you know, maybe, but Jacobs is actually, he's coming off of two kind of subpar games, and he didn't really have that like name value. Whoever drafted him got him at a relative, I mean, huge bargain, right? And the rest of the league maybe still kind of anchored to that value. So I think you're probably not getting the same kind of return for Jacobs, and I still do have him, you know, probably right there with Mixon at the top of tier two. I'll add another name into the mix that I've kind of been talking about selling for a while now, and that's Dalvin Cook. I'm concerned about that shoulder coming up later in the season. Like, we know it's still an issue, and it's just lurking until he has surgery. Maybe he is able to sneak through the rest of the year without issues, but it's definitely a major risk. And if you can get, you know, top end RB1 return for him based on his production, I think I would look at doing that.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about it. I mean, it's a shoulder. It's not, obviously you don't want guys injured. That's the ideal if they're not, but it's not something that I'm overly concerned about. I mean, if you can get, you know, preseason Dalvin Cook tier one running back price for him, yeah, maybe you move him, but I still have him as, you know, in that same, like you said, high end tier two running backs. I mean, he's still great. He's one of the best running backs in the league. So I'm not worried about it, really. I think if anything, I'm maybe a little bit higher on him than it sounds like you are.
Well, it sounds like you're way higher on him. I mean, we're not doctors here, so it's hard to have like too in-depth of a conversation on his shoulder injury, but it's there. Like, anytime it can pop up, and he's missed a lot of time down the stretch over the last four seasons. So yeah, any running back can get hurt, but it's become a pattern with him, and we know he's got an injury already. So yeah, people are valuing him actually probably above where he was drafted at this point. I think that if you can get that kind of return, to me, it's a no-brainer, but yeah.
I mean, the injury happened over a month ago, and he's played every game since then. So
the injury happened last year, and it's just something that is always going to be there until he has surgery.
I mean, he dislocated it at the end of September, and then played the very next week. That's all I'm saying.
It doesn't get better. Really, it doesn't get better without surgery. Is the thing with this shoulder.
So. But he's elected not to have surgery. Like, you've already drafted him knowing about the existing injury. Like, I thought you were talking about him dislocating it again. Like, I'm not.
Well, it's just going to keep happening.
I'm not really worried about it.
It's going to get worse and worse. I mean, that's why I say worried about it.
That's conjecture. Somebody would have said the same thing about Saquon's knee or Christian McCaffrey's leg or Derrick Henry's back. Like, you could say that every running back's had some kind of issue. Eckler's concussions, like, you could literally say that about any running back that's not like a first or second year guy that's already been injured.
No, not the same thing. This shoulder dislocation, as far as I understand it, again, we're getting into the weeds here, not being medical professionals, but once this happens, it becomes something that continues to happen and get worse until you have surgery, is my understanding of the issue.
But he's not he's not throwing the ball 30 times a game. What are we worried about? A shoulder injury. It's not affecting him.
We're not medical professionals. He's got to wear the shoulder sling thing. Why would he be wearing a shoulder sling when he plays if it wasn't affecting him? But B-Don, it sounds like you're buying Dalvin Cook if somebody's selling. So we can just agree to disagree there. Moving on to wide receivers, who's the top wide receiver that you would be selling if you had to make a move?
You know, I think if I have to decide on somebody out of the elite guys to move, I think it's there's Chase, who's, you know, dealing with the injury, plus just the existing, you know, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd are there. But I think we've seen already Chase is above that. He's an amazing player. So it's just injury concern with Chase, potentially moving him. I'm personally not going to move him just because I think he's perfectly fine in there. I would say the other two that I'm looking at amongst these guys that, like, if you're looking at moving a top piece and maybe seeing maybe slight concern here, I mean, Cooper Kupp, the Rams kind of suck. They're pretty awful in general. So I just wonder, like, if they shut down Stafford, would they potentially look at shutting down Kupp? This is complete conjecture. I have no data to back that or no statements to back that. Strictly just a, like, what could potentially happen. And kind of the same thing with Davante Adams, where I don't know that the Raiders are they're not where they thought they might be coming into this season, which was, you know, a potential playoff team, and they clearly not looking like that now. So either the Raiders could shut down Davante Adams, or like if you watched his body language this week, there were times where he was clearly disappointed that he wasn't getting the ball, that Carr missed him, that the offense in general is just disappointing. So I could see Davante Adams potentially being a slight letdown just because he's so used to playing for games that matter. You know, the Packers and Davante Adams and Rodgers have been playoff bound with, if not a one or two seed, for so long. I just don't, if he gets really frustrated, I could see him potentially kind of slacking off, or maybe even getting some rest.
I think Adams is a decent call. I mean, he's coming off a huge game, right? 17 targets, 10 receptions, I mean, 2 touchdowns, 146 yards. So yeah, it might be the perfect opportunity to sell high on him. But again, if you're selling one of these guys, I think we should emphasize, like, you got to be getting that return, because he, any given week, you can go off for these ridiculous, like, matchup winning numbers, right?
Right. These are top guys. We're literally just poking holes in, like, the very top guys. We'll get into some other names here in a little bit, but I just thought it was important at this point, if we're looking at the top guys and you're thinking about making a big move, whether that is trading one of them or trading for one of them, you know, if you have your choice of Tyreek, Kupp, Diggs, Devontae, like, we're just saying maybe look at Tyreek or Diggs instead of Kupp or Devontae.
Yeah, if you're buying, I agree with that. And then if you're selling, it goes back to why are you selling? And you're probably pushed into a corner. So in that case, I think you hit it on the head with Ja'Marr Chase. As much as we don't want to sell him, I mean, he's not doing you any good while he's hurt. We don't know how soon he's going to be back. So yeah, if you're in a tough situation, go ahead and make sure you get the right kind of return. But if you need to, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're sitting sub 500, you can't be waiting for guys to come back from injury. It's just, you got to make the moves.
Right. How about a quarterback? Who's your guy at quarterback that you'd be looking to move?
You know, I mean, it's kind of hard at quarterback because we're talking literally about the elites here. So really, there's like four guys, I think, who belong in this discussion. And that's Allen, Mahomes, Jalen, and Lamar Jackson. And I'm not moving any of them right now. I literally have no concerns about any of them. So, I mean, I think if we kind of dig a little bit deeper, right? We talked about Kyler. I think that's probably my name that I'm bringing up, but I talked about him last week, so I don't want to spend too much time on it other than say we've seen him kind of get injured and fade in the past. Like, that's my only concern. And they're leaning so heavy on DeAndre Hopkins right now. If teams just triple cover him, is he just going to keep throwing into it?
Yeah, I think he is going to keep doing that.
And it may not matter because DeAndre Hopkins is a monster.
Let's hope and get it. Right. I think my answer is similar to yours here. I'm pretty much not selling any of these guys unless somebody makes me an offer that's just too good to pass up, right? Because, like, if you're in a position where you've got to win, I mean, you want one of these quarterbacks on your team, really. So, like, I guess if somebody's going to give you a running back or wide receiver that really fills a hole and you're able to get their quarterback out of them, and their quarterback is maybe, like, I don't know, Dak or
Fields. I mean, if you get Fields and anybody we've talked about for any of the quarterbacks, I think you do it, especially obviously in a one quarterback, but even in a super flex, I feel like those are moves that you can make if you're just down on, you're starting, like, whatever's on the wire each week at running back and wide receiver.
Yeah, I think trading quarterbacks in a one QB league is a little bit trickier unless you happen to end up with two of the top ones on your team, and then it's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, in a one quarterback, I think you can easily do it. And there's probably a team out there who randomly end up stacked that has some pieces they can move that you can move your quarterback for, and then go stream it from the wire. Superflex is, I think, where it gets difficult because you can't just go find one if you don't get one back.
Yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. It, I mean, it's all depends on what.
Yeah, I mean, it's relative. If every quarterback, starting quarterback's owned in your one quarterback league, because that's how it works in your one quarterback league. Obviously, it's a different scenario. But in my normally I would say, even for home leagues, there's about 20, 22, 24 maybe quarterbacks rostered. Even if everybody has two, like we're not talking about everybody holding three quarterbacks.
Yeah. Tight end, who's the guy that you'd be looking to move?
You know, I think it's Zach Ertz amongst tight ends. And I mean, I don't feel great about saying it's Ertz. He's been fine. It kind of ties back to Kyler. It ties back to Hopkins, Rondale Moore being healthy. We still don't know. Hollywood may come back at some point. So it's more about just the options around Ertz starting to kind of pop up a little bit more. So I think the early season production from Ertz may be the best that it was at, you know, kind of when we were looking at it.
Yeah, I think from the list of top guys that you've listed here, Ertz does kind of pop out, but I guess the one that I would highlight is TJ Hockenson, just moving to a new team. We talked about it before. Anybody at a skill position moving into a new offense midseason, it's tricky. Tight end, you know, maybe it's a little bit easier than wide receiver. I don't know. You gotta learn blocking schemes and all that and route. So maybe it's tough. Maybe there's an argument for it being tougher than wide receiver. So I think the guy that I would be fading is Hockenson if somebody's willing to pay you. You know, he was in that just outside the top tier, I'll say, of tight ends, right, before this trade. I think I'd have him a little bit lower now.
Yeah, I mean, I would have said the same thing following the trade, but 9 for 9, 70 yards. I don't know. Getting 9 targets, which is his second highest of the season, 9 receptions being his best mark. I just feel like, you know, they wanted him. They clearly schemed plays for him this week. If you just watch the game, like I would say out of those 9 receptions, 4 or 5 of them were schemed directly to get him the ball. So I'm not as concerned about him, but I understand where you're coming from. There's always concern when a player moves and the amount of work that he has to do to learn a new offense. You know, obviously the fact that Irv Smith headed to IR makes me feel a little bit better just in the role part of it. But I understand where you're coming from. I still think if we're talking like the top one, I think Ertz gets you more in a trade than Hockenson does just because what he's been doing all year. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, actually, I hadn't seen those usage numbers, and that's pretty impressive to just come in off the street and get 9 targets, catch all of them. He played 91% of the snaps too. So yeah maybe. I
mean, he was in there. Like they didn't, you know, kind of ease him in. They were like, okay, you're a tight end now.
Yeah, we're going to throw it to you. So yeah, maybe you're right there. I can get on board with that. Actually, I mean, with that, I can actually get on board flipping and buying Hockenson just with, like, they paid for him. They're using him. Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, so it's Ertz then. We're both on Ertz as a sell. And yeah. I think this is the one of the group that, like, I think I'm actually selling. Like, I know we've said, like, the rest of them, it's kind of situational. I think you have Zach Ertz. Like, this is the high – we've kind of reached the high point of his value for the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's Taysom Hill could go into that argument just because of the volatility.
I'm not a Taysom Hill.
I know. I know you'd love that.
I mean, the 1.12 fantasy points he put up this week was pretty awesome for everybody that started him.
Yeah, maybe you're not going to be able to get quite as much after that.
He's just not touching the ball. Like he's used all over the place, but he touches the ball less than 10 times a game, and he's not really working downfield. Like it's a weird thing with Taysom Hill because you're counting on he does get touches, but he plays so little. Maybe touches was the wrong thing, but he plays so little.
He gets touchdowns.
Sometimes he gets touchdowns.
Sometimes we get 2 of them.
You're really just counting on that like 135 point week that he had where he threw, ran, received. Like outside of those weeks, it's kind of rough.
Okay.
It's kind of rough at tight end anyway.
It is, right. So and that's why he's a tight end one. Yeah.
But yeah, I think Ertz is the one who's going to just continue to kind of lose playing time, lose targets. I know he had 8 last week, so people are yelling at their
computer,
whatever they're listening to right now. But yeah, I feel like he's the one I would move. And I think if you get, you know, a an Ingram, a Gesicki, a Komet, a Pitts, a Fant, like with him or just from your wire,
right?
And get something for him. I think that's the move.
Yeah. That's the thing. You can pick up a guy off of a lot of waiver wires, not every league. Every league's different. So again, goes back to being all relative, but there's if you can get something of value for a tight end and then pick up a decent replacement, then you go ahead and do that. B-Don, moving away from tight ends, Damian Pierce, are you buying and selling him for the rest of the season?
I mean, Damian Pierce has looked great. There's really nothing that you could ask of him to do better. But I do feel like the narrative around him is maybe better than the production we're getting. So I do think he's a sell just because I don't see him having like game winning weeks. Like he's not that type of guy. Houston is not that type of offense. He's very consistent. I don't see him getting under 10 fantasy points in PPR most of the time, but I don't see him getting above, you know, 15 or 20 very often either. So I think it's a sell because you can get more than what he's actually worth.
Yeah, he's one of those weird players that I could go in really any direction, buy, sell, hold. Depending on what your league is thinking, because I do think that he's got those game, the matchup winning weeks in him. He's getting so many touches. I think he had 27 this week. Does that sound right?
He had 27 carries. He didn't get any targets or receptions this week, which wasn't great to see, but 27 touches. Hard to complain about that.
Right. He had 26 carries and five targets in week five, 20 carries and four targets in week seven, 15 carries and five targets in week eight, and then 27 carries in week nine. So, I mean, the offense is pretty much running through him now. It's not a great offense. I think it's the argument against him, but he could sneak in for two touchdowns and have these 27 carries and 140 yards and just go off for a monster week. But it's not something that you're like counting on. I've kind of got him in that high end RB2 area. So somebody might be looking at him based on that consistency as an RB1 and you get that kind of return, or somebody else might be thinking, oh, I got Damian Pierce late and he started slow. I'm going to use this as a, sell high kind of opportunity. So I think he's one of those weird players that you could go in any direction. How about, Najee Harris?
And you talked about kind of the weird valuation on Damian. I've seen some very odd valuations on Najee because of it's not been good this year.
He's got one touchdown.
It's not
one rushing. Not, I guess he's got a couple receiving.
Yeah. It's not been what we thought we were getting. I mean, I want to say, for Dynasty, I'm 100% buying. I think it's an injury related thing. I think he's just not healthy. He's not making the cuts like he can. So from that perspective, I'm buying. For redraft, I mean, I guess I'm buying there as well, just because I think it gets better rather than worse. They had their bye week last week, so he had some time to rest it. I think this is the buy time. Like, if you're listening to this podcast this week, you're buying at what it seems like as low as it will get before he just bottoms out and is worth nothing this season if he gets injured. But I just feel like the bye week is giving him a chance to recover, get some time off, rest. So I think I'm buying.
Yeah, I think the bigger concern for me is just how bad the Steelers are. Versus the injury is not great either. We don't know exactly how much it's hampering him, but I think he's a player that I would put in the hold bucket just because if you own him, what are you going to get for him? I don't think I want to buy him unless you're getting a really good deal. So I can get on board with buying depending on the price, as we always put that qualifier.
I just feel like he's going for so low right now. I feel like he's almost a buy out of just the amount of carries he should get, whether that's true or not.
Yeah, as long as you're not getting at all anchored to draft day value on him, I'd consider the buy. How about DeAndre Swift?
I'm buying DeAndre Swift. I feel like he's going to get healthy. I know it's still just been like little things nagging at him, but I'm buying. You know, I think he's one of the most talented running backs in the league. He's going to still split touchdowns. That hasn't changed with Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams just comes in. Swift does all the 20 to 20 work. Then he's tired, and then Jamal comes in and falls in the end zone. But he's still going to get some scores. He's still going to get the receiving work, and he's going to get all the 20 to 20 work when he's healthy. So I'm buying that.
Yeah, and he's, again, one of those players that I would be willing to buy, but it depends on where your team's at, kind of like Jamar Chase. I wish that they would, like, stop playing him. He played 16% of snaps this week. It's like, what's the point? Why don't you just give him another week off? You
know? I really wish they had just let him rest this week.
Yeah, get him healthy.
But, yeah, I think he's going to get healthy, and I think he's a buy. But you're right. It does depend where you're at, because he could miss this week. That could still definitely happen.
Yeah, I mean, you really – it's hard to start him until you see him get 10-plus carries and a handful of targets, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Ramondre Stevenson, we talked quite a bit about selling him last week. My opinion hasn't changed. How about you?
I mean, I think I'm still selling, but I'm leaning more towards the hold territory now. Just, it seems like he has, for whatever it's worth, you know, he has his spot in New England's offense.
Yeah, Damian Harris being hurt definitely helps.
Yeah, it definitely makes me feel better about Stevenson. I mean, the production's still not amazing. 15 for 60, 3 for 10. I mean, he did get 7 targets.
A lot of targets.
Targets is great. But it's really a lot of check down stuff, or at least it was this week. I mean, it's a hold for me. I'm not just selling him. I think what he's doing is fairly legitimate, but if somebody wanted to offer me, you know, a Kenneth Walker, I think
Aaron Jones.
Yeah. I think like those guys, I'd be in on over him.
Yeah. ETN, I'd take over him.
Yeah, I think I would too. Even though I'm not an ETN fan, long-term, I think I would do for this year.
Damian Pierce, I'd take over him. How about you?
Yep. I'd take Pierce.
Yeah. So I think you can get a deal done like that. Also they're going into their bye. So that's another, it's tough to sell a guy in a bye, especially, this year, the way the bye weeks have lined up has been a nightmare for a lot of teams. But if you can get a team that's in good position and has this week covered, I'm all about selling him. And then the other part about this bye week is it gives Damian Harris a chance to get healthier. And once he's back and healthy, you just don't know with Belichick. And that's kind of always been our argument against Patriot running backs, is like, this could flip at any time. And suddenly Damian Harris is healthy and getting 15 carries a game. And it's just a real headache, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would have him, you know, I think two of our normal running back question guys are Sanders and Gibson. I'd take Sanders over him. I would take him over Gibson.
Yeah, I agree. It's tough. I can see, I was like Gibson. I could see Gibson being more valuable, but obviously consensus values are not close right now, and I think we said that last week. So if you are making that kind of move, you got to get more. Gibson was somebody that I think we're going to talk about Brian Robinson a little bit later, but we can just go over there. It's still looking like a pretty even split of work between those two. So it's tough. It's tough to value Gibson as more than like a back end RB2 high end flex at this point, right?
Yeah. I mean, I really thought we were turning the corner and that they were starting to lean into Gibson as the guy. And it just doesn't feel like they're ready. They want to commit to either one. So I like Gibson for what he does with the ball, but it just doesn't feel like they're trusting him to be it. And until that happens, they can only rank him so high.
Let's get forward to a couple of buy sells on wide receivers. Mecole Hardman seems to be a pretty popular waiver ad this week. Are you buying or selling his production with Mahomes?
I'm always selling Mecole Hardman. You know this. And I had this discussion on Twitter with a number of people. Guys, he has 5 touchdowns in 3 weeks. He has 4 touchdowns in the 5 weeks that he scored 10 PPR points. Like, you just don't maintain that kind of touchdown rate, generally speaking. Could it happen? Sure. Like, there's random seasons where guys have high touchdown rates. I don't think Mecole Hardman is one of them. I think this has been a nice little stretch run for him. he's always been fine as like a bye week flyer type of guy. I'm not buying into this all of a sudden changing and him becoming something different than what he's ever been.
There's going to be some volatility. I agree. I mean, he should be owned. We can say that. And there's going to be good weeks. There's going to be bad.
I mean, I guess he should be owned in most like 12 team.
He's a wide receiver three, I think, at this point.
Six bench leagues. I wouldn't have him there yet. I don't have him as a wide receiver three.
So. Where are you valuing him then?
Bye week flyer. Like I said, I mean, I feel like he's somewhere in the wide receiver 4 or 5 range for me. I mean, I'm not taking him over like a Judy, like a Thielen. I'd probably rather have Chase Claypool rest of season. Apparently I'm very down on him. That's even lower than I was thinking.
I think that, Judy is wide receiver 3. Thielen, probably wide receiver 3. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not crazy about Hardman. Maybe calling him like a slam dunk wide receiver 3 isn't fair. Wide receiver 4, I mean, it depends on buys and stuff like that.
He's a 4 or 5.
He's putting, like, he's putting the numbers up. Yeah, I may be like a little bit higher on him, but I don't want to overstate it. They did just trade for Kadarius Toney. And, you know, a lot of targets are going to Juju and Kelsey, obviously.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like Toney is going to take the Mecole Hardman role, not the Juju or MVS role, because that's what Toney does. He does kind of the same thing as Mecole does, but better.
How about Christian Kirk? Buying or selling?
Christian Kirk's been a funny one, like all season. Like he looked great out the gate, and then he's kind of struggled. It's just been it's been up and down. I feel like I would probably take this time to sell him off of a good week, just because I don't know that I believe that it's going to be any kind of consistency. I believe he's going to have very good weeks here and there. I guess very good may be overreaching. He's going to have strong weeks, but it's going to be very inconsistent. That offense is very inconsistent still. I'm not trusting the offense, so I guess I'm just not trusting him as a true, like, points wise. He should be like a wide receiver 2, you know, maybe even a wide receiver 1, but I would say he's probably more of a high-end wide receiver 3 for me.
Yeah, I think that's the right area. I'm probably like a little bit higher on him, back-end wide receiver 2, but not too far apart. So as with anything, comes down to what you can get for him. If you can get solid wide receiver 2 return, then yeah, I'm good with selling off of this solid game, because I do agree. I don't think he's going to be like a consistent wide receiver 2 producer. Right. You want to talk about any other wide receivers or move on to some re-ranking of the rookies from this draft class?
I mean, I guess we can just kind of talk about some wide receivers real quick with the Kirk evaluation maybe and kind of do it that way. I know I had some names thrown down here and they kind of fit in there. So would you rather have Kirk or Juju?
Juju.
Same. Kirk or Mooney, who's obviously had a couple of nice weeks with Fields starting to pop up.
That one's Kirk for me.
Yeah, I think so, just because of the number of passes. You assume Kirk is, you know, the Arizona offense should have more attempts, and therefore Kirk has more opportunities. But I'd say those two are a lot closer than people may think. So I think if I can get a Mooney plus deal done, I'd look into that. Terry McLaurin?
Versus who? Kirk?
Kirk.
I think that's the right area. I think I give the slight edge to Terry.
Yeah, I mean, that's one where I'm going to go with the talent, which I fully believe is Terry, even though the opportunity may not be as strong. I'm going to go Terry there. And kind of the same with, like, both Seattle guys I'm going with. I think him and Lazard are similarly talented, and I'm probably going Lazard there. That's probably the line.
Definitely for me, both Seattle guys over Kirk, and then I'll take Kirk over Lazard. But I think that this is generally the right kind of range, and could see any of them going either way. Although I think the Seattle guys are in a different tier.
That's fair. That's very possible. I think the only reason that they are in this discussion is because it's the Seattle guys. There's two of them. And like, we don't really know week to week still which one it's going to be, although they've both been pretty solid week to week, even though one of them seems to do better. Lazard, you could probably talk me into one week or another, just depending on how it goes. Maybe the health of Lazard is the determining factor, and I go with Kirk, actually.
So re-ranking the rookies segment here, B-Don, quarterbacks, it's been, you know, it wasn't a super exciting class to begin with. Not a whole lot has changed, I guess. How are you ranking the top end of the 2022 quarterback class after we've got 9 weeks in the books now?
I mean, I don't want to kill Kenny Pickett. It's been, you know, a very limited time that he's been starting, and their offense has been very bad. Even, you know, whether it's him or anybody else there. So I really don't want to bury Pickett here, but I mean, at this point, I think I'd rather have Malik Willis. As weird as that sounds, like just the rushing upside we've seen kind of pop off with Justin Fields these last couple of weeks. You know, anytime you can get a rushing quarterback, that's just cheating. And so if I'm going to kind of lay money on anybody, I think that's where I'm going.
Yeah, I agree. The rest of the class, I mean, we haven't seen anything from, so it's hard to really change our opinions on them. I wasn't super high on any of these guys anyway. Your Matt Corral, Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell, do either of these three jump out at you? I think a lot of people liked Ridder coming in, and there's still hope for him.
Yeah, Ritter's interesting. I think we'll see him at some point this season, just because Mariota's been so freaking bad at times. And then I do like Howell a little bit. I feel like, and this is kind of what I said during the draft process, is like he took a big hit because of a bad last season. But really, like if he had left after his second season, he would have been drafted up maybe the top of this class. So I still think there's a little bit there with Howell. It doesn't make me feel great that they decided to go with Heinicke when Wentz got hurt, but that could just be, again, them kicking the tires on Heinicke. They've always kind of liked him. I feel like they were kind of in a should we go with Taylor or not situation, even when they signed Wentz. So I'm not surprised they went with Taylor, but that doesn't mean that I'm not still somewhat interested in Howell, but I don't think there's a whole lot here.
Yeah,
we're really talking about like deep dart throws.
Yeah,
about anybody other than I think Willis and Pickett.
Generally, even those guys, I don't see that kind of top tier fantasy upside happening in their career. So we're talking more eventual fantasy streamers and super flex kind of guys. In my opinion, you agree?
Yeah, and I mean, I had Willis in a league, and I moved him with another piece to upgrade. And I think that's the kind of move you're looking at in Dynasty if you have Willis or if you're, you know, if you're out for this year. Because I do think, again, I think he's interesting. I think in a very rushing, heavy, play action, heavy offense, he could do just fine. It's just kind of about integrating him in. And he obviously has some growing pains he's going to have to go through.
So let's talk about running back. So we've got three guys that have really kind of erupted this season. Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall, who is now injured and out for the year, and Damian Pierce, who we've already talked about. And then there's a slew of other intriguing guys that we can talk about after these top three. How are you ranking the top three, though?
I have Kenneth Walker 1, Breece 2, and Pierce 3. Walker's healthy. That's pretty much the determining factor between him and Breece. If Breece is healthy, I'd have him 1. Breece looked so freaking electric and dynamic when he played this year that I still have to have him in a very close tie there with Walker. Pierce sits 3 because of, I mean, and I hate to do it, but it's the draft capital, it's the Texans, you know, it's just not an ideal situation for him, despite, like, it's not his fault. He's looked great in what work he's done.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. As much as I like Pierce and I liked him coming into the year, he's just not quite in that tier. I guess you could make the argument for him over Breece because of the injury. I'm not going to. But Kenneth Walker's got to be number 1 in my opinion because he's taken that backfield over. There's no longer really any competition. So that I think the reason Breece was ahead of him in the first place was that assumption that Breece would take over that offense sooner. And Kenneth Walker has done just that in Seattle. After these three, though, Bedon, we've got this grouping of, I think, number one or number four, I guess, for me, of this next group is going to be Isaiah Pacheco. But then you've also got Brian Robinson, Tyler Allgeier down there in Atlanta, Rashad White in Tampa, James Cook in Buffalo, Jalen Warren and Zamir White.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have Rashad White over Pacheco. I just feel like he could take the Tampa Bay job, although the Tampa Bay job could look a whole lot different as soon as next year and be a whole lot less interesting. Pacheco, you know, I have high hopes, but Kansas City is just spreading touches around. It doesn't seem like they want to commit to anybody. And I mean, I know there was a lot of buzz around Pacheco, but it wasn't a guy that stood out for me in film either. He was, you know, fun, but not necessarily somebody I thought would be locked in there. Allgeier Robinson is really about usage. You know, they're getting usage. I don't think either has looked overly strong in their usage. I think if we're looking at him, Allgeier at least has had a few moments where it looks good. And then Jalen Warren, Zamir White, those are kind of just dart throws. Jalen Warren has gotten a little bit of more play. And then obviously, you know, Zamir White hasn't really done much of anything yet, but there's some talent there.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of separation in this group. Nobody's really proven anything. So like I said, I like Pacheco the most, but that's just personal preference until we see all of these guys have a fair shot. Allgeier and Robinson are probably the two right now that you want in redraft because they're getting work. But even with Allgeier, now we've got Cordarrelle Patterson back and getting back into his old role. I mean, We don't know what it's going to look like moving forward. So I'll rank them Pacheco, Robinson, Allgeier, White, and then Cook, Warren, Zamir. I should say Rashad White is the first one. Zamir White would be last on my list, but it's all pretty fluid in this group, right?
Yeah, it is. And I think of this group, like I think White, Pacheco, Allgeier are really the only three who are going to potentially even have the opportunity to take over a role. Robinson looks like very specific role. James Cook looks like a very specific role. I guess Jalen Warren could potentially take over. But I'm not expecting it. And Zamir White, again, very, very specific roles. So a lot of these guys are role guys. You get a little excited in preseason, but I just feel like we're talking about role guys. There's the big three.
Yeah. Yeah. Warren could with injury for sure. So wide receiver, interesting group still here, Bedon. A lot of fun names in this wide receiver class. Olave is going to be my top guy. I liked him a lot coming in. And I mean, he's done nothing but dominate in New Orleans, but I think it's close between him and Garrett Wilson and Drake London. I'll give a slight edge to Wilson over London right now, but kind of a toss up for me there at number two. And I still love George Pickens, but a lot of uncertainty around the future there in Pittsburgh at quarterback and just their offense in general, right?
Yeah, I would say there's another big three here. It's Wilson, London, Olave, and whatever order you like them. That's my order. I have Wilson, London, Olave. Honestly, that's the order I had them pre-draft process. So that's maybe a little biased, but they haven't done anything to discourage me from that. I still have Pickens 4. I just believe that like the overall talent level and athletic ability of him is absolutely ridiculous. And again, Pickens starts that next group. And I think there's, I don't know, I'd say 4 guys. It's Pickens, Jameson, Treylon Burks and Johan Dotson for me in that group. And then there's kind of the last set of talented guys that I'm sticking in kind of the top 10.
Yeah. So I think the only spot that I'm really going to slightly disagree is that I like Treylon Burks a little bit more than the other guys in your second tier still. We'll see how soon he can get back from this turf toe, but I got him ahead of Jameson Williams and Johan Dotson. And then, yeah, Romeo Dubs. I think that like you mentioned with the Tampa offense and Brady, there's definitely some uncertainty in Green Bay too, regarding how much longer Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are going to be playing after this rough season that they've been weathering.
Yeah. Yeah. Certainly some concern. Yeah. I would say with Trey Lynn, the only thing I'm really concerned about is he's in an offense that's A, very run happy. B, it's going to be either Ryan Tannehill or Malik Willis, which kind of feeds again into them being even more run happy. So I just worry about the overall upside until that offense kind of changes a little bit. From a talent standpoint, he's great. I mean, I think him and Jamison Williams and George Pickens, all like great talents. We're just waiting to see on the field. Dotson looked great in his limited time. And then you mentioned like Dobbs, Christian Watson and that group of talented, but we're waiting to see. You're right. We don't know what's happening with Rodgers. I would put Sky Moore, Alec Pierce, John Mechie, Wandale Robinson in that same group. You know, talented. We're still waiting to see it, though.
All right, B-Don. We're getting a little long here. Let's wrap it up with the segment we're bringing back, Asshole of the Week. You got one for us?
I do, and this is personal because, well, I have him on a lot of teams, and I love him, and that is Kyle Pitts. But my Asshole of the Week is not Kyle Pitts. It's not his fault. It's Marcus Mariota's fault. He absolutely airballed Kyle Pitts. He had him just wide open to stroll in for a touchdown and overthrew him by 5 yards. He missed him multiple times on the day. Like, Kyle Pitts could have had a real fantasy day, and that was all blown to shit because Marcus Mariota is a crap quarterback. When do we get Desmond Ridder? I'm ready.
I mean, I think there's always a good handful of assholes to choose from. I think mine's going to be Keenan Allen. So he comes back in week seven, and then they go on bye week eight, and somehow his hamstring gets worse, and then he misses week nine after a bye week. So I don't know if it's Keenan Allen or the doctors or coaching staff. I don't know what the hell happened there, but somebody's an asshole, right?
I gotta say, if I was a Chargers player, there's no chance in hell I'm going to the Chargers doctors. I mean, after their Tyrod mess up, that would have been the end of it. Like, y'all can't even like do basic stuff right. I'm out. I'm not coming to you. I'm in LA. There's third doctors.
Party. Yeah.
There are so many doctors everywhere in LA. Like, go anywhere else. Anywhere else. Do not let the Chargers staff get you, because that's just the worst. We could probably throw DeAndre Swift in this as well, in the Lions, for having him come back and play less than 20% of the snaps this week. That was brutal. He saw less than Justin Jackson. Like, what?
Yeah, because he's so hard to bench. But
you benched him last week, maybe, and then you're like, oh, he had a good week. It's time to put him back in there, and then just so frustrating. Frustrating, DT.
The tough part is that, you know, these guys are just chomping at the bit to get back out there. So it's like, if there's a doctor that's going to tell them go for it, they're all about it. And even if it's not what's best for them. So yeah, tough.
Gotta find some new medical staff there in LA. I don't know.
All right, B-Don, good show, man. You guys can all go follow B-Don out there on Twitter at RazBDon. I'm at DonkeyTeeth87. Subscribe to the show on YouTube. We got the video out there. You can see B-Don's beautiful face on YouTube. And you can subscribe to the podcast anywhere you listen to the podcast, Spotify, Apple, all that good stuff. We'll be back next week with more Buy Sell. I'm Donkey Teeth. That's B-Don. Take it easy, guys.
Bears.
The Bears.
Yeah.